Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
Hi there, this is Paul Barlow of the company A-Safe Inc. here in the USA, and you're listening to the new Warehouse Podcast. Today's safety tip is always consider the speed of your vehicles on site. Speed has a direct impact on the impact energy of those vehicles. It's the square root of the speed. So if you reduce the speed by 1 mile per hour, it's an exponential decrease in the impact energy. So speed should always be considered and will have a massive reduction in your impact energies and damages on site.
With e-commerce off the charts, many small and growing warehouses are asking, how can I get ahead when my warehouse is barely keeping up? The answer is future-ready warehouse tech from Zebra Technologies. Warehouses can simplify and upgrade all processes, from automated inventory management to hands-free picking, with Zebra's tailored, scalable mobile solutions. They're simple and intuitive. There's never been a better time to upgrade for success with Zebra. How can your warehouse get ahead? The answer's in black and white. Get the answers at zebra.com/the answer. That's zebra.com/the answer. Fulfillment demand continues to skyrocket and outpace available labor. To keep up, warehouse operators are turning to flexible fulfillment solutions like Six River Systems. Utilizing Six River Systems' award-winning combination of collaborative robots, artificial intelligence, and operational expertise will make your associates and wall-to-wall fulfillment workflow more efficient. No new infrastructure, no change to warehouse layout, easy to deploy and scale, easy to train and retain associates, all at half the cost of traditional automation. Want to take your fulfillment operation to the next level? Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more. That's www.sixriver.com to learn more.
Starting March 28th, MODEX 2022 lets you see what's coming and take advantage of it to power your supply chain with more possibilities for years to come. With 850 exhibitors and education sessions, MODEX 2022 is where you'll find the more of everything. From illuminating education to next generation technology and equipment in action to the latest equipment and system solutions for your supply chain needs. Visit modexshow.com and join us March 28th to 31st, 2022.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. On today's episode, I am going to be joined by Paul Barlow. He is the CEO at A-Safe, and he's going to tell us a little bit about how they got into the guarding industry and how their guards differ from a traditional steel guard and what the difference is and how that really counts. And he's also going to talk to us about their new Rack Eye solution. And we're going to dive a little bit into the Pro GMA, which is a part of MHI, and their protective guarding search tool, which is very interesting. So, Paul, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm very well, and you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So you're over in the UK, is that right?
No, I'm based in the USA, but I'm a UK resident.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
UK passport holder.
Okay, okay. So where are you today? You're in UK or USA?
No, I'm in York, Pennsylvania, the USA.
Oh, York. Okay. Well, there's a York in the UK and a York in Pennsylvania, right? So.
I know. I was born not far away from that.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. All right. So welcome to the show. And we're going to talk about your company today, A-Safe. So tell us a little bit about A-Safe and what it is you guys really do.
Okay, well, ASAFE was originally formed back in Elland, near Leeds, back in 1984, I believe, by David Smith. Mm-hmm. David originally worked in the polymer industry and started a company on actually manufacturing shrink wrap films back in the sort of mid-80s. Shrink wrap film was still fairly innovative technology back in those days. So David got into that business back in those days. It was originally known as Fax Films back in those days.
Okay.
And over the years, he's developed other polymer products, including pallets and core products. And and in the at the turn of the millennium, he developed a safety barrier.
Interesting. So, okay. And the safety barrier now, I mean, I think I saw on the website, it's a pretty interesting story how that kind of came about. So how did that idea come about and what kind of sparked that?
At the time, they were manufacturing polymer pallets for various companies around the world. And one day they had, I believe it must have been the HSE, in the UK, the Health and Safety Inspectorate, come into the facility and say, well, you need to guard that machine and you need to guard that machine. And as a result of that, at some point, somebody had seen our pallets stood up on end and said, well, why can't we just sort of put the pallets together and make a barrier from the pallets that they were doing? And that really led to the first concept of, why can't we just make a special polymer barrier?
Yeah.
We have the technology, the extrusion technology. So why can't we do it? And that was really, I believe, is the first sort of seed of thought of polymer barriers in the whole world.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And obviously, I think a creative idea, you know, you look at something a little bit differently and it sparks an idea. So it's very interesting how it kind of came about and really started to develop. So now the polymer itself, now it's a little different, as you mentioned, you know, it's the first kind of polymer barrier in the industry that it came about. So so talk to us a little bit about the difference between the polymer barrier versus a steel or metal barrier that we may typically have in mind or see a lot of.
So sure. So ASAFE actually manufactures all their own polymer. So it's our own intellectual property on the constituent of that polymer, which makes it very flexible.
Okay.
So we manufacture it on our own machines. We blend the polymer ourselves. And as I say, it's our own intellectual property, the makeup of that material. But when it comes to steel, there's two big differences between steel and polymer.
Okay.
Steel's a very rigid product.
Right.
It's designed to be rigid. So it has very little energy absorption capability. So any vehicle that travels with a mass and a speed has an empirical amount of energy, and that can be calculated. Energy doesn't just disappear when you hit something. That energy is either transferred, converted into another form of energy. It's one of the energy laws. So when a barrier, when a vehicle hits a barrier, the kinetic energy of that vehicle moving forward goes into something. So and it typically goes into the barrier. And on a steel barrier, because it has very little absorption capability, its first reaction is to bend. That is a form of absorption.
Okay.
And then the next thing it tends to do is when it reaches its limit of bend, it either breaks or it pushes the energy into the floor anchors. And then the barrier pulls out of the floor and all kinds of stuff like that. With polymer, it's very different. With polymer, we're not trying to resist that energy. We're trying to work with the energy. So when a vehicle hits our barrier, we're not trying to just hold it back. We're trying to take that energy, absorb it within to the system, within dampers, within the posts of our system. So that energy is channeled into certain sections of the barrier. So we're not putting the energy into the floor. We allow the product to deflect. It's elastic in that sense.
Okay.
And then it comes back to its original position. And I like to say it's a bit like, you know, cars from the 1980s. They all had steel bumpers on steel brackets. And, you know, if you hit anything at any speed with them, you'd bend the bumper or you'd bend the brackets or what have you. Whereas today's cars, you know, every car on the road today has a polymer style bumper that's designed to take an impact at a very low speed, so 1 or 2 miles an hour, You might get superficial scratches and things like that, but you won't get any damage. There'll be no structural damage to the car. And that's the difference. You know, a bump around a car is absorbing energy. Mm. And it's the same principle in our product, just higher energies because the vehicles are heavier and the speeds are higher.
Mm. It's very interesting. And I love the idea that, you know, it can essentially bounce back into shape. And, you know, I think though, right. that I'm curious in the beginning, you know, when this was like first introduced, you know, how did you, cause I think, you know, you think barrier and you think like stop, like I want something that's going to be yep. rigid and stop. Right. Yep. And protect yep. whatever it's guarding. So you mentioned in there that the, you know, the polymer is flexible in a sense. And mm-hmm. I think the first thing, you know, maybe the mind is geared to is when I want a barrier, I don't want something necessarily flexible. Right. So how did you change kind of that mindset or how did you get the market to realize that this was maybe a better product than looking at steel?
Well, the to be honest, you never really, to make mm-hmm. it so strong enough,
yeah.
Any other kind of barrier to stop, you literally have to, you know, grit it into the floor mm-hmm. and make it so almost cost uncompetitive right. that you really can't stop these vehicles with any kind of solution on the market. So even if you had steel, those energies from those vehicles, it would just either drive through them mm-hmm. or rip, you know, and rip them out of the floor. So there's never really been a solution that can just stop them.
Right.
You know, many manufacturers out there will tell you, yeah, you know, you run into our steel barriers and they just pull straight out of the floor. Mm-hmm. So that stop solution is not really a competitive solution in the market because you'd have to make it like a highway barrier, you know, and put like concrete, 5 tons yeah, of concrete yeah. around yeah. each post to really stop a vehicle. And even then you'd still bend everything and you'd probably damage the vehicle and you'd probably damage the person inside the vehicle because mm-hmm. that person coming to a stop at such a, you know, a rapid deceleration is not good either. Mm. So, and then the polymer, whilst we do deflect, we limit that deflection and it's just a deflection zone behind the barrier. So it will deflect up to about 15 inches in total, which is what, about 350 millimeters. But that's a deflection then that you would design into your walkways or things like that as a possible zone that could be impacted under the heaviest of impacts. So it's just a slightly different thought process that yeah. needs to be considered. And that's how we kind of sell the product.
Gotcha. Very interesting. And I think along those lines as well, you know, I saw on the website, you guys have pretty extensive testing, it seems like, and you have some very cool videos of, you know, things smashing into your guarding. So how does the kind of testing come about and how did you develop these different tests to ensure the strength of the guarding?
Yeah, I mean, there is no standard back in, you know, a few years ago, there was no standard in anywhere around the world on barrier testing of any kind.
Right.
You know, you test for fire alarms, you test fire extinguishers, you test all kinds of other safety equipment, but barriers, there really is no standard around the world. So, and we're a very conscious company and we want to make sure that our products are up to the ratings that we promote. So, we have a very, very high level of testing of all our products, both internally, which is then witnessed by TÜV Nord out of Germany.
Okay.
So it's an area that we as a manufacturer take very responsibly, that at the end of the day, this is a safety product and it needs to work and it needs to work to what we publish that it works because there's people behind this barrier. Mm-hmm. So if we say it will impact and take 20,000 joules of energy, it will take 20,000 joules of energy. Mm. I can't say that for the rest of the industry because there has been no constraints on the industry. But moving forward, the ProGMA along with ANSI has developed a testing standard for here in the US that we hope to adopt in 2022 to get all manufacturers to go on board and get their products tested to a national standard to ensure that manufacturers, when they're buying or considering buying barrier product to protect their employees or protect their machines or whatever, that they're getting what they pay for. So that should be around in mid to late 2022.
Okay, interesting. And I think that's, you know, definitely necessary. I mean, we're talking about, you know, things that are protecting, as you mentioned, people and vehicles and other expensive equipment, I'm sure. So there should be some type of standard in place ensuring that, you know, these things are actually going to protect what they say they're going to protect. And you mentioned the Pro GMA in there and how you guys are developing the standard. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about the Pro GMA and what is that exactly?
So the Pro GMA is an industry group of the Materials Handling Institute here in the USA, mm-hmm. and it's the Professional Guarding Manufacturers Association. So it contains a group of manufacturers that produce anything to do with guarding, barriers, netting, anything to do in that sort of realm of industry. Mm-hmm. And as an organization, we're trying to take the industry forward, improve things for the industry, market the industry, and collectively work together to raise our profile in the industry.
Very interesting. And I think that's the right thing to do. I mean, I think, you know, like you mentioned, developing the standard and obviously coming together, the industry as a whole can do the right thing for the end user and make sure that all this guarding and safety things are taken care of and developed in the right way so that the end user actually stays safe as well. And I think along with the standards that you mentioned, you guys are also developing a protective guarding search tool. Is that correct? And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the Pro GMA decided that obviously there's a lot of different products out there available to different manufacturers, and so we thought that as an assistance to those people searching for a safety type product or a guarding product, that we could develop a search tool within the Pro GMA website that would assist and direct people towards different manufacturers rather than having to go and search themselves. Mm-hmm. So it would direct them to some of those manufacturers that, you know, if you're talking about machine guarding, there's, you know, different machine guarders on there and mm-hmm. or barriers or guardrail or whatever. So it's just an aid to help people find products easier and manufacturers.
Okay, very interesting. And that's live now or that's in development still?
I believe it's live now.
Okay. All right. And that can be found through the MHI website, or where can that be found?
Yeah. If you put into the Pro GMA mm-hmm. and search for protective guarding tool, I believe that comes up.
Okay. All right. Cool. And we'll link to that at thenewwarehouse.com as well so people can find it. So we're talking about safety here. And obviously, you guys have been doing these polymer barriers for quite some time, as you mentioned. But you're also getting into some newer technology I see on the safety side as well. Maybe some, I guess, smarter technology in a sense called RackEye. So tell us a little bit about RackEye and what that does. It is pretty interesting.
Yeah, as a company, we know that technology is moving forward. And mm-hmm. so our sort of first soiree into that segment is the RackEye product. So the RackEye okay. product is a device that attaches to each rack leg of your warehouse. Mm-hmm. And it's a live monitoring system for impacts on your racking. So typically in a warehouse, they may inspect their racks once a week, once a month, once every 3 months, maybe never. Maybe never. They rely on the fork truck drivers or what have you in the facility to say, hey, I've hit that rat leg, I've bent it, it's damaged. Or maybe they don't have drivers that like to own up to mistakes.
Yeah.
This is a tool that negates all of that because it's doing the monitoring live all the time. So you attach one device to each rack leg, and in the event of an impact, it senses the level of that impact.
Okay.
And it then sends a signal to the responsible person on site, whether it be by text message or email or the means, saying, you know, rack leg 7 of aisle F has just been impacted, and it will even tell you to what extent it's been impacted, whether it's a low impact or a high impact, what you should do about it, and then how to go and look at the rack leg, even within the app that comes with the RackEye. It then asks you to put in some measurements on how much damage, and then it will advise you as to whether it really needs replacing, whether it should be, it's okay, or you know, whether the area needs to be cordoned off because it's a serious safety concern. So it's a tool, a smart tool that is live and real time. So it's just another means of providing information, real time data to warehouses on the potential damage and risks of a racking collapse. Because when a racking collapse, it's usually not just one rack, it's usually all of them, because they end up doing the domino effect.
Dominoes, yeah.
So if you can prevent those rack legs from failing, and that means if you're monitoring the rack legs, not only are we just monitoring the rack legs, but the people on site know that the rack legs are being monitored, then there tends to be a significant reduction in people impacting those legs as well. It tends to drive up safety on site, or should I say more caution.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I've certainly seen that in my experience too, is, you know, you let the employees know you're monitoring them. They tend to reduce the amount of incidents, and they seem to pay closer attention because they don't want to get called out, basically. And, you know, I think it's an interesting concept, and it's certainly something, I think, like, as you mentioned, you know, there's depends on the culture that's in place, whether you have employees that are going to report whether they hit a rack or not, or, you know, maybe it's instilled in them from previous jobs and cultures that, you know, if you hit the rack, you're going to be terminated or something, so they don't report it. And, and you know, it's difficult to get cameras, at least that many cameras, to be able to see all those different angles and things that happen when you're talking about huge facilities. So the rack guy, I mean, it certainly sounds like a smart solution to that issue. And as you said, you know, it can help you to monitor the integrity of your racking, which, you know, could be potentially fatal in a sense. So how did the idea for rack guy kind of come about? Is this something that customers were asking for? Or was there a specific incident maybe that sparked it?
No, I think as a company, we are moving more and more into the technology field, connected world. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first of one of those products. So I don't honestly know where it originally started. I don't know whether it was just an idea or a customer had an idea. Mm-hmm. But the original concept of it started back in 2015, I want to say. Okay. And it's taken us several years to be able to bring a marketable product out, because these are not linked to any power supply. They're all battery. So we don't need any power supply or anything on any of these devices. Mm. You know, battery technology has improved significantly over the last 5 years. So, you know, there was a lot of work working around the power supply to make it a usable device. It was a great idea, but whether it was operationally usable is another thing. So it's taken, as I say, sort of 5 or 6 years to bring it to a market solution. But as we move forward, then we will start to see that impact technology, sensing technology, integrated into other products across our portfolio. So into barriers, into bollards, things like that. So that, you know, you can get a bigger picture of what's happening on your site. Where are things being impacted? Heat maps, you know, is there particular areas where things are getting impacted all the time? Why is that? What, you know, and allow you to do a bit more root cause analysis. So that's just how we're going forward as a company.
Mm. Very interesting. And I love that you're bringing the technology into the safety aspect as well, because I think it makes it easier to monitor and definitely gives people more insight into what's really happening in the warehouse, especially as we see, you know, gigantic buildings popping up all over the place, more ground to cover for managers and supervisors. So, you know, being able to give them better tools to really monitor and understand, you know, what's happening in reality out there in the middle of their racking is a good thing. So, so very interesting to learn about ASAFE and the Pro GMA as well. So Paul, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. If people want to find out more information about ASAFE and the guarding and also RackEye, how can they do that?
So they can go to www.asafe.com. That's the easiest way. All our products and details are on there, or within the USA, obviously the Pro GMA, we're a member of the Pro GMA and our information is on that website too.
Okay, great. And we'll put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com as well, so people can easily find it. So Paul, thank you once again for your time on the show today.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.